Mark chapter number 5, if you would, in the scripture. And look with me tonight in verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled, From Maniac to Messenger. From Maniac to Messenger. Now, Mark is a gospel of action. There are more miracles recorded in the Gospel of Mark than any other book in the Bible. Christ had just been teaching on the other side of the Sea of Galilee to quite a crowd. In fact, as the crowd continued to expand, he had to retreat to a boat on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and taught all day from that boat life-changing principles. He was weary after a long day of ministry and told his disciples that they would make way across the Sea of Galilee. The Lord, tired from a day of ministry, was in the hinder part of the boat and was resting on a pillow. You may know the story. The disciples came to where Christ was and awoke him because they were fearful of their life because of the storm that had arisen on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus Christ, coming topside there in the boat, spoke, and the wind and the sea were calmed. Now they come to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and Christ gets out of the boat here, and the Bible speaks. Now he's near the country of the Gadarenes. Gadara is located on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee, near Decapolis. This was the land that was given to the tribe of Gad, located on the east side of the Jordan River. And as Christ reaches this region and gets out of the boat, the Bible says that he is confronted with a man who is demon-possessed. Now, I've not been confronted in this way that we read about of the Lord tonight, but I remember a few years ago, I was preaching in a church down below on a Saturday for some worker training. And I took my daughter Mariah with me. We had a great day with the pastor and the church family, and we finished early Saturday afternoon. And we left and we went to In-N-Out, where all God's people go. And we got a hamburger at In-N-Out. And then Mariah had won a ticket to Six Flags from some reading she had done here at the school. And I love rides and roller coasters, and Mariah does as well. So we went over there on the way home, and we were going to try to get a couple of rides before coming back and preparing for church the next day. We got to the park and we were riding rides and enjoying the time together as father and daughter, and the park was about to close and we needed to get home and ready for church the next day. And so there was one more ride we wanted to ride, and we said, let's go do that and then we'll get out of the park. And so we ran over to the ride and we waited in line and we got on the ride. We enjoyed it. We got off the ride and we noticed that the lighting at the amusement park had changed and the music had changed. It was kind of a scary, eerie feel to it. And we asked one of the workers, we said, what's going on here tonight? And they said, oh, you didn't know? And we said, no, what's happening? And they said, well, tonight is the kickoff of Fright Fest. We said, oh, okay, well, what is Fright Fest? And they said, well, you walk around and there's a bunch of people dressed up and they try to scare you. Now, this was several years ago, and Mariah was much younger, and she said, Dad, I don't want to see anybody who's trying to scare me. I said, I don't either. And so I asked the lady, I said, ma'am, is there a way from where we are right now to the exit without going through the Fright Fest? And she said, sir, I'm sorry, there's not. I said, well, what is the way we can go through the least amount of Fright Fest stuff? And she kind of showed us on the map, this is the way to go. I said, all right, here we go. So I got Mariah with me, and we're kind of making that way. And then we get to the area where the Fright Fest is, and the lighting and the people and all that. And Mariah said, Dad, I'm going to hold your arm. I'm going to close my eyes and you get me through this area as fast as you can. I said, all right, Mariah, you got a deal. Well, here's the problem. When you go through an area like that and they're trying to scare you and they know you are scared, you're going to attract the attention of every single one of those people. And there's people dressed up like goblins and goons and demons and all kinds of crazy stuff. And we were walking through there and every single one of them was coming up to us to scare us because they thought they were making Mariah just feel so good. We finally got through that and got out of there and got home, thankfully. So I don't know exactly what it was like that Christ was facing, but when I read it, that came to mind in my own time with the Lord. Now, the Lord had just dealt with some bad weather on the Sea of Galilee. Now as he comes to the shore of the region of Gadara, he's dealing with this wickedness of this man from the tombs who is possessed with demons. And tonight as we unpack this story, I want to be reminded of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the power of the gospel. So notice with me tonight in our story, first of all, the condition of this man. This was someone being possessed of demons. The Bible makes that clear. Now we know tonight, and we believe here at Lancaster Baptist Church, that a saved person, someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and are indwelt and sealed by the Spirit of God, cannot be indwelt by a demon. There's no record in Scripture of a believer ever being demon-possessed, but this man indeed was. And what a terrible curse on his life, and certainly Satan striving to do him harm and hurt, as we will unsee, and we'd be wise to remember tonight the words in 1 Peter, to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And as we think about the condition of this man, we first of all, in our story tonight, see his dwelling place. Look at our text in Mark 5 and again in the middle part of verse 2. And there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Now, the people who lived in this vicinity had tried to protect themselves from this fearful man. They had chained him. They had driven him out into the wild. And now he was living among the dead in the tombs, in the cemetery. This was a man who was poor. He was lost. He was lonely. This was a man, as far as the townspeople were concerned, that was hated and shunned and feared by all. The tomb were the large holes cut out in the limestone and where the dead would be taken. And this was the dwelling place of this man. We read of the fact that he's possessed with an unclean spirit. Sin never makes anyone any cleaner. The Bible says in Psalms 14:3 that they are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The condition of this man was so sad, his dwelling place unimaginable. But notice his demeanor. Look at verse 4. Because that he had been off bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. The ordinary, or even the most harsh restraints imposed by society had failed. Locking him up in prison was of no use. This man possessed demonic strength, and nothing could hold him. The Bible is clear that no man could tame him. At least the people knew where he was, because the Bible says that he was crying and with stones cutting himself like a wolf howling in the middle of the wilderness. You could hear all that surrounded this area, this man crying in this way. At some point in his life, yielding to Satan, the great thief, this man had lost everything. Think of it. His family, his home, his friends, his job, the association of neighbors. He's lost his decency as he runs around the tombs naked. He's lost his self-control. He lives literally like a wild animal, screaming and cutting himself. Everyone near this area had heard of this man. It was scared to death of him. This man had no peace. He had no purpose for living. Reminds us tonight of Satan's goal of your life and mine. Sin certainly never satisfies, but I'm thankful tonight that God always does. The Bible says in Psalms 107:9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." We see the condition of this man, and it was dark indeed. But notice with me, secondly, tonight, the change made possible by the Savior. Amen. Jesus comes on the scene. That's always a good day in anyone's life and in any circumstance when Jesus shows up. Whenever Jesus Christ shows up, he makes things better. Here we read of the Lord Jesus Christ coming graciously to this man in love, even enduring a life-threatening storm to get there to change this man's life. Pastor talked about it a moment ago, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so here Jesus Christ comes and brings change to this man's life. Notice with me the devotion of this man as he intersects the path of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I just love that. Here's this man living out of control. Here's this man with all of these self-inflicted wounds. Here is this man with this unbelievable reputation. Here is this man that could not be tamed, that nobody wanted anything to do with. And Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he sees him and he runs to him and he worships him. In verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Amazing. What a sight he must have been. His body covered with the wounds and the scars. His hair and his beard long, tangled. His eyes ablaze from the demons and the spirits in his body. He was unwashed, unkept, naked. When anyone came near that way, they feared this man. This man possessed of these demons would fall on others and desire to do them harm. But when Jesus arrives on the scene, the man comes to him and falls to worship. Now, as you read verse 6 and verse 7, there's no doubt that the man comes and he portrays himself before the Lord in a worshipful fashion. But as you read the conversation as it begins, many believe that literally the demons were speaking through this man to the Son of God. It certainly shows us that they understood the authority and the power that Jesus Christ had. And it reminds you and I in Philippians, where the Bible says that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. We're reminded in James 2:19 that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. For the devils also believe and tremble. And here we read in Scripture a time where the demons now are at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed they are trembling because they know who he is. They know what he's capable of. And they know the authority that he possesses. So what do they say in verse number 7? Jesus, torment me not. Amazing the hypocrisy of this. A legion of demons are tormenting this man, but their prayer to the living Son of God is, torment me not. They begin to plead for mercy that Jesus Christ would not torment them. This devotion leads to the deliverance of the man. I love this. Look at verse number 8, if you would. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And many besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Speaking there of being afraid of being sent to hell directly. Verse 11. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the certain and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. Now, though there were many demons, and though no doubt they had incredible strength, they were no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're reminded tonight that you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible speaks here of a legion of demons, a Roman legion, a legion of Roman soldiers, and the Roman army would consist anywhere between 3,000 and 6,000 men. And we see these demons possessing this one man, and the Lord Jesus Christ coming on the scene to deliver him of this possession. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 8 says, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And then look at verse number 13. "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave." And we're reminded tonight that those demons could do nothing without the permission of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they were going to be cast out, or if they were going to be given permission to go into the swine as opposed to going straight to hell, they were going to be granted that at the permission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're reminded tonight, as we think about the life of Christ and on the Sea of Galilee, peace be still. Looking at this man in the face with thousands of demons in his body, and simply the words, "Come out of him," we're reminded of the incredible power of the Word of God tonight. The Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And we see the power that comes in the Word of God. Well, what does it result in? Look at verse 15. This is great. "And they come to see Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Wow. After a personal interaction with the living Son of God, the powerful spoken words of Jesus Christ, this maniac of Kandera has been transformed into a man sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. The Bible says in Luke's account of this story that he came to see that which was done in Jesus and found the man of whom the devils was departing sitting at the feet of Jesus. He has found a resting place. He was experiencing a peace that he had soon and no doubt long forgotten. The Bible says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this man was experiencing these things like never before at the feet of Christ, sitting at rest and at peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that he was clothed. In Luke's account, speaking of the man, "And when he," Jesus Christ, "came to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes." This man was running around the wilderness and the tombs with no clothes on. But after Jesus Christ changed him on the inside, after the demons were expelled from his body and he enters into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the internal change, we see immediately an external change. Now he is sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and he has clothes on. And I am thankful to be a part of a church that we believe that an internal change should reflect in an external change. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." It was evident that this man was different, sitting and clothed. And the Bible says in his right mind. There's no doubt as you read about this man, he was definitely not in his right mind prior to this. But the Bible says he is now. And the world would have you and I to think that following Jesus Christ is crazy or insane at times. But the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we see the condition of this man. We see the change that Jesus brings. But notice with me now, thirdly, the confession of the people. Those responsible for watching the pigs didn't want to get in trouble. So they run into the city to tell the owners what had just happened. Let's see the description of the story they tell. Look at verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Drop to verse 16. And when they saw it, it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. And they all concerning the swine. Here, those that were responsible for watching and feeding the swine had just watched what had unfolded. And could you imagine the story as they ran into the city to explain to their boss why the 2,000 swine in their care were now drowned in the water? It was an unusual day at work, to say the least. As they began to explain to their boss how this man coming over in a boat and he gets out at the seashore, and here comes the maniac out of the tombs and out of the wilderness, and they had never seen someone treat him with such compassion and dignity and love. And after just a mere conversation, this man had changed. And then we don't know what happened, but the pigs that we were watching, that were feeding and that we were caring for, all of a sudden violently ran down the cliff and drowned in the water. The Bible says in Matthew's account that the whole city came out to meet Jesus when they heard this story. Now, many have asked, why did Jesus cast the demons into the swine? I don't pretend to know the answer, but I'll give you a couple of thoughts. First, it gave proof of the miracle. No one could deny that something happened. It wasn't just the word of Jesus Christ that this man who was possessed was no longer possessed of demons. Certainly, he was sitting clothed in his right mind, but the 2,000 dead pigs didn't help convince other people as well. Also, under the Mosaic law, the swine was classified as an unclean animal. It was unclean. It was illegal to be involved in this business. And the Lord destroying that property was not what was happening, but rather as the rightful king of the country cleaning up what he would see fit. And we understand that the majority of those that inhabited Gadara were Gentiles, but some believe that it was the Jewish people that owned the swine and the Gentiles that cared for them. Or maybe it was just a vivid illustration to this Christ-rejecting crowd that to Satan, a pig is no different than a man. So what happens when they all hear and understand the story? Well, we see the departure in verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. It's interesting to me that the people of Gadara, the first prayer we see they utter is a prayer to ask Jesus Christ to leave. It's not a prayer of gratitude. You've taken the eyesore of our community and you have transformed his life. We now are safer. We now have a better quality of life. There's no gratitude expressed. There's no desire to know Jesus and the power that this maniac had just received. No, their response is rather of rejection and wanting him to leave. Why in the world would those in the town desire that Jesus Christ leave? Why not ask him to stay and perform other miracles and help other people who were in need? And I believe that because there was one thing that they cared about more than anything else, and that was their business, that was their money. So we see lastly tonight the charge to the servant. Christ obliges the people. Where he's not wanted, he'll not stay. But as he was leaving, this man whose life had just been changed desired to go with him. And notice the request in verse number 18. The Bible says, and when he had come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ, following the desire of the people, is making his way to the ship and going to leave the area of Gadara. And here is this man who is sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, clothed and in his right mind. He had just been showed love like he had never been shown before. He was feeling something on the inside that he had never felt before. He was sitting in the presence of the living Son of God and not understanding why the town responded this way. But all this man knew was he wanted to be with Jesus. And it's always a good indicator when someone truly knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they have a desire to be with Jesus, when they want to go to church and read God's word and pray, when there's a hunger for the things of the Lord. And it was evident in this man, he wanted to be with Jesus. Amen. Motivated by the love he had for the Lord, this converted man came and asked the Lord Jesus Christ if he could abide with him, if he could stay at his feet. We see in verse number 18 that he prayed. The word pray there means to beg. He said, Lord, I want to be your disciple. I want to be near you. I want to hear you teach. I want your influence in my life. But we're going to see tonight as we close that in the Lord's response, he gives the man's responsibility. Look at verse number 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now this refusal of the Lord was not a rebuke. It was not Christ rejecting this man. It was rather Christ giving him an assignment. He was to go home and be a missionary. He was to tell his family and his friends, his neighbors, all who had lived in terror of what he might do to them. He was to share his testimony, what Jesus Christ had done for him, once bound body and soul, now free, all because he met Jesus Christ. Can I remind you and I tonight, as pastors already challenged us, we too tonight have a responsibility. God wants you and I to go and tell. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Dr. Curtis Hudson said the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to God. So what was this man's response? His life changed by Jesus. Jesus being run out of town by the citizens and his desire to be with him and to go with him. We'll look at verse number 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. What did this man do? He obeyed. He immediately obeyed. He had just become a Christian, a Christ follower, a believer, and Christ had given him a mandate to go and to tell, and so he obeyed, and he went back to Decapolis, and he published. The word published there means to proclaim or to preach, and this man became one of the earliest missionaries we're aware of to all of the Gentiles, telling them about the life change he experienced at the feet of Jesus Christ. What happened? All men did marvel. The word marvel means to be astonished or in wonder. No doubt, astonished and in wonder of who was telling them the story. This was the maniac of Gadara, completely transformed. But also no doubt in astonishment and wonder of who changed his life. So tonight as a church family, let's remember our condition before Christ. Let's tonight take a moment to remember the change that Christ has wrought in our life. And let's not forget the confession of those around us when we first got saved and they could see our lives transforming. And tonight, let's embrace the charge that we have been given to go and publish. And as our church family turns our attention to April the 11th and 12th on Easter weekend, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, may we come next Sunday excited to get our packet, to get some invitations, to go out in this community and to tell what Jesus has done for us, that Lancaster, Palmdale, and the Antelope Valley might marvel at the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.